Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. It is draft night. We are at T-Line in West Nashville. Derek Mason, Big Joe Dubin, Chase McCabe will be here starting at 6 for all of your first-round NFL draft coverage. But speaking of the first round, let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our guy, Easton Freeze of A to Z Sports. Hi, Easton. How are you?
Hello. I'm on my second Celsius of the day, which isn't helping anything. How are you all?
We're good. All right, Easton. The first round is a few hours away. Help us sift through all of the conjecture. What are you hearing? What are you feeling about the Titans at number 4 overall?
Well, I'm sitting here pounding caffeine for that very reason. It's a weird one. It's a weird one. There's a lot of stuff flying. And what I'm hearing is that the top 10 is going to have some fireworks in it. There's a couple of teams we've had pegged for a while now as potential trade-up candidates, like the Saints and the Chiefs and the Cowboys, and those are the teams that are largely being talked about today, but there's a lot of rumors flying about something big potentially brewing in this first round that folks around the league keep hinting at, but seems sworn to secrecy on, or maybe don't quite have their finger on the pulse of what actually is happening. I think there will be a couple of veterans moved, at least one big veteran that I feel pretty good about moved tonight during the show, and that will involve some draft compensation. And I think there will be a couple of teams that move up. I think the Cardinals at 3, and yes, the Titans at 4 are two teams to watch pretty intently as trade down candidates if teams really get after the potential falling of an edge rusher and what seems to be a maturing of the wide receiver market. And we knew that these top receivers were going to be top half of the first round picks, but it's seeming like there's kind of an arms race for these guys in the top 3, and there may be one too few seats at the table, and teams are scrambling to not get left out.
Easton, earlier today I sent you my tour of the mocks. I looked at all of the mock drafts, the prominent insiders before the draft, and many of them have the Titans taking Sonny Styles number 4 overall. You are on record as saying you do not believe it for one second that Sonny Styles is the Titans' preference at number 4 overall. Tell us why.
You're right. I am going down with that ship. I'm taking on the national guys, I guess. It's not a position I love to be in, but it's just the way that I feel based on the work that I've done. I've talked to enough people that have given me good information on this, and I think just logically speaking, putting sources and intel aside, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense for the Titans to pass on one of Jeremiah Love, Arvell Reese, or David Bailey, who one of them is required to be there mathematically at 4. I also think, like I said a minute ago, their appetite to trade at either 4 or 35 is pretty healthy. And here's a fact for you. This front office would really like to come out of this weekend with more top 100 draft capital, whether that's this year or next year. That you can kind of pencil that in as a recurring fact year over year until further notice. But that is definitely the case for this weekend. And so with those 4 options on the table, the 2 edge guys, the running back, and a trade down, Sonny Styles, I understand why people on the outside see it as a fit. And obviously, there's a lot of folks that see him as the top defender. Some folks even see him as the top player, football player prospect in this class. So I don't think that he's some terrible top 10 pick by any means. It's really the nature of his position, being an off-ball linebacker, which to me, for my money, it's the least impactful of the starting 22 players on a football field on offense and on defense. We've seen Robert Saleh maximize that position in his defense and make it more of an impact position, and that's an important point. But I think when you dig deeper into his 15-year NFL career, however long it's been, you look at the top linebackers he's had and you go, oh, it's a second rounder and a couple of third rounders and a bunch of fourth rounders and fifth rounders. He has maximized guys that weren't top shelf prospects and top shelf athletes. And if I'm in that front office, I look at that and see a superpower in the coach that I just hired and said, and say, you know, there are good linebackers in that range for us in this draft. Let's lean into him being able to maximize those guys instead of spending the fourth overall pick on a linebacker and passing on more impactful players.
We'll talk with Easton Freeze of A to Z Sports talking the NFL 2026 NFL draft. Now, Easton, a lot has been made over the last, I would say, 10 days with Jordan Tyson and him sort of coming up the ranks as far as him being a potential top 10 or 12 pick. Considering his health, I still don't understand why he's rising so fast when he's had hamstring problems. That's the number one thing you sort of look at with wide receivers. But do you think if the Titans do indeed move down, which one of those guys do you think they have the potential of taking? Carnell Tate or Jordan?
You know, it's a good question, and it really depends on where they trade down to, right? Because I'm starting to think that Jordan Tyson certainly won't be available outside the top 10, and I question whether he's available beyond, I mean, five. I think the Giants could take him at five. I'm not saying they will, but that's where that starts for Jordan Tyson in my mind tonight. The reason why he's being talked of so highly all of a sudden is because of the medicals. Like, if he came in to this draft cycle with a clean bill of health and no history, I won't say he would be the consensus top wide receiver, but we would have spent the past 3 months at least debating Carnell Tate versus Jordan Tyson, because a lot of evaluators look at him and see Stephon Diggs. Like, that's the caliber of player, that's the athleticism and the talent that he brings to the table. He's a really enticing prospect when he is on the field and healthy. And it's just that repeat injury risk that you have to look at and weigh whether or not that is indicative of long-term issues or structural issues, or whether it's just a string of bad luck. And it's really impossible to say, but you know what they say, like the best indicator of future injuries are past injuries. And so teams have to weigh that for themselves. I think the Titans are the kind of team, Mike Vergara is the kind of GM who would want to go with the safer option. And so I would bet he likes Carnell Tate a little bit more from a safety standpoint, but that's just a guess on my part.
Yeah, I would be with him, Easton, in that regards, just because, like you said, the medicals. If the medicals were not there, then I think you do have a serious decision to make whether you're going to take Carnell Tate at whatever space or Jordan Tyson before him. But you've covered drafts over the years, and I'm sure there have been drafts where you looked at it in the first round and within the first 5 or 10 picks, it's like, holy crap, what's going on? Things are moving. Do you expect this draft to be like that?
I still think that the first 5 players off the board are relatively predictable. What's unpredictable is in what order they'll go and whether or not teams will trade up or down out of the top 5 to make the picks. Like, I still think the first 4 players, I feel real good about the first 4 players being Mendoza, Reese, Bailey, and Love, in some order to some teams. And then we get to 5 and it gets tricky. I still think that it's a question of whether it's Tyson, Sonny Styles, or Caleb Downs there. And that seems to be kind of a rotating wheel right now, it's hard to pin that down. But once we get into the late top 10, early teens, that's where I think things can start to get a little bit crazy. Because again, the arms race, that's what we really have to look at and say, what are teams racing for in this round? Because that's what's going to drive results in terms of trades. It's the tackles and the wide receivers, in my opinion. Those are the positions that we're going to see in that, let's say, pick 6 to pick 18 range, push some teams to make some hasty decisions. Because there are like 6 tackles that could come off the board tonight, and wherever that run starts, and if it starts to go one after the other, like, you know, those deadlines produce results. And with these top 3 wide receivers, I think a number of teams have a pretty clear tier break between the top 3 and the next group of 3. And so there very well could be a race to get in on that before all of them are taken.
Now, looking at this draft in particular with the Tennessee Titans, do you think this has the potential? Because the last time, I think, the Titans were in a space where, you know, outside of last year, because they had a need last year and they were picking number 1, so they drafted, you know, Cam Ward. But, you know, the year after drafting Marcus Mariota, they still had the number one pick. They end up trading out, and we see what happened because of those trades, how this team was built. Do you think that has the potential of happening with this this draft with the Titans if they indeed move off of three? Would it still? Do you believe it have the impact that that draft had for the Titans back then?
I think it could. A lot of folks will tell you the strength of this draft class is on day two, which is a thing you hear most draft classes. But more importantly, you know, there are a lot of teams right now that are picking in the 20s and the early 30s of this draft that are actively unhappy with where they're picking. And that was kind of a secret that's now a poorly kept secret at this point. And that's because most of these teams have a big logjam of like third round, maybe early second round grades in this class. A ton of value players that are worthwhile mid to late day two picks, but you're going to feel like you're not getting maximum value if you take them at the end of the first or early on day two. And so teams would really like to maximize that range. I think it's why teams like Miami has three third round picks in this class. I'm sure they're very happy with where they're sitting right now, given the strength of the board. And so I think that's why the Titans particularly are interested in trading back if they can. If they were to land the right players, and you always hear like this is a down class. And the reality is even a down draft class is going to produce stars. You just have to be able to find them. And that's what the good front offices do. They identify the talent. And what I would argue the good front offices do is they maximize their swings of the axe. They maximize their dart throws. And in a class like this, where it's going to be trickier to find those diamonds in the rough, more picks are better than less.
Easton Freeze is with us, A to Z Sports. And Easton, this is a tricky one to answer, but I heard Albert Breer on the MMQB podcast. He listed the Titans as one of the teams that would really like to trade down. Do you think that jives with what you've been reading here? Would they really like to trade out of that pick if they get the offer they're looking for?
Yes. Yes, they would. I mean, I really don't have much more to say there. They would. The way that I keep describing it is their appetite to trade out of 4 and 35 is very healthy. And they would like to come out of this draft with more top 100 capital. That's a fact. Now, here's a little bit more context for you, because that's a bad question for, or bad answer for radio. I don't know where the line is between them liking the prospects available to them and a trade down. Like last year with Cam Ward, Mike Borgonzi said aloud, and I think was telling the truth, when you think you have the quarterback, you take the quarterback. You say no to all trades no matter what. And that's where they were last year. That's obviously not where they are at 4 this year with these guys that could be there. Now, I feel pretty good about them really liking Arvell Reese and really liking David Bailey and really liking Jeremiah Love. But how much do they like them if the Cowboys came calling with the 12th overall pick, or the Chiefs came calling with the 9th overall pick, or the Saints with the 8th? And if that meant they could add a pick tomorrow or a top 100 pick in next year's class, which is thought really highly of at this point. I just don't know where that line is, and we're going to find out tonight.
Yeah, I think that is a central question, because I think it would be doubly tough, probably, given the fact that Robert Saleh is a first-year coach. I would think the way I would be wired, if I'm a new coach, I would like the weapon in my arsenal when I take the field for the first time, as opposed to trade down, get lower first-round picks, maybe even picks for next year, even though that's maybe the best play long-term. You talked about the throws of the dartboard, all of that stuff. That might be the best way to build a roster. But from a human standpoint, and Robert Saleh, that would be tough. Of course, it's not Robert Saleh's choice.
Yeah, that's why we have GMs, right? That's why we're always dubious of a coach who has authoritative power in the front office, because you're right, the timelines can be conflicting sometimes. And I'm sure Robert Saleh would love for this year's squad to be as good as possible so that he could have a good year that would buy him some runway. There's always a spin zone to it, though, right? Like, if the Titans were to trade out of the first round this year entirely and add a couple of really nice picks next year and feel like they won the draft with some value but didn't quite come out of it with a whole lot of help now, does that frustrate him in the immediate term? Yes. But if things don't go well with what he has, he can always fall back on, well, what am I supposed to do? You guys traded away my first-round pick. We're focused on next year. You saw the front office. They put it all on next year. We're on to next year.
Easton, you referenced earlier you're expecting some fireworks in the first round. I need you to spill some tea, my man. What are some of the things you think are going to happen in the first round?
I wish I had a really firm grasp on all of what I've heard to tell you. It's a lot of rumors and stuff that I can't put my finger on exactly right now. There are a couple of things that I feel decent about, but I don't want to go on record saying that they're going to happen and then they don't happen. Like I said, I think that there will be a veteran traded, at least one veteran, maybe a couple of veterans traded tonight, stars in the league that change teams and it involves first round picks or maybe high second round picks. I think that there will be a couple of trades in the top 10 from some of those teams that we've talked about. And I think it's going to be interesting. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay, I'll ask you one more.
All
Which
right.
team in the first round has the greatest potential to throw a grenade into the proceedings and just completely turn the first round on its ear?
That's a good question. I hate how Cowboys-centric our lives are, but I'm kind of forced to say the Cowboys because the late-breaking rumors today are, and of course the Cowboys are armed with two first round picks. They've got 12 and 20. So they have the ammo to make it happen. But what's interesting is the late breaking rumor as of the last like 3 hours is that the Cowboys are interested in potentially trading up into the top 10 for wide receiver, which then brings into question, well, CeeDee Lamb's being paid a quadrillion dollars and George Pickens pretty famously right now is in the throes of being unhappy with being on the franchise tag. The Cowboys saying he's going to play this year on the franchise tag. And this week we've learned that they've apparently gotten nowhere on negotiations with him for a long-term contract. And he's also George Pickens, which we know brings flavor to the proceedings. So do they move up for a top receiver and begin that run way earlier than anyone expected? And does that trade involve moving George Pickens to the team that trades back with them? I don't know. I'm sitting here thinking about it this afternoon.
Interesting. Easton Freeze of A to Z Sports has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Of course, you can read all of his fine reporting on the Tennessee Titans at AtoZSports.com. Easton, keep pumping that caffeine, my man. Enjoy the first round. We'll catch up soon.
Let's talk about this again when it's all over. See you guys.
615-737-1025. Sounds like Easton thinks we're going to have a wild first round.
I hope we do, but
I'm here for it.
Titans don't make it too wild. Just draft love and let everybody else do the crazy stuff.
Well, we'll see. 615-737-1025. We will take your reaction to what Easton Freeze had to say. And here's my question for all of you during the break. Think about it. Text us. 615-737-1025. What is your gut telling you about what the Titans are going to do at number 4 overall? What does your gut say a couple of hours out from the first round of the NFL draft? 615-737-1025. Let me tell all of you that our coverage of the draft starts tonight here at T-Line Nashville. We will be at Chicago's home of chicken and waffles tomorrow in East Nashville. Coverage begins at 6 p.m. today on 102.5 The Game and tomorrow on Sports Talk 830, presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Pozona MD, Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, Sealmaster, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air Home Generators.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.